Hello, welcome to Nintendo Nostalgia. I'm your host, Jacob Rush, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Black, and we're playing with Power. Ryan, I know it's normally with these types of episodes, we just dive right in because we want to make it quick and simple and simulate kind of like what the experience is like playing a game. But our streak ended, unfortunately. Sorry, last week, you know, with just an anime, you know, I think in general, you know, I think Ryan and I, as a show, as we've matured, like in the past, we used to be like, you know, never miss a week, never miss a week. And I think, you know, we're more mature and balanced enough now to where like, you know what, like if this week just ain't going to work, that's fine. Obviously we have the standard of we want consistency and want to always be recording. And we will do that when we can, but sometimes, especially like over the holidays, you know, Ryan's traveling. I had a lot of family stuff going on, but even worse than that, like I ended up getting strep throat over the weekend, so I could barely talk. I had to go to urgent care. Like, I mean, I woke up at like 2 a.m. and just suffered until I was able to go to urgent care at 7 a.m. And then they got me steroid, antibiotic, and then by the end of the day, I can't tell you how much better I felt. And then my daughter ended up getting it, and you know, it was just tough. It was a tough, really, Thanksgiving break. Yes, there was good times, my son's birthday, but honestly, it was kind of a stressor just by me mainly getting sick. I had to miss a bunch of stuff on Friday, and then my daughter had to miss Thanksgiving with my family on Sunday and go back to her mom. So it was tougher. So Ryan was out of town driving and very busy. So it just made sense. Like, you know what, we're going to forego this week. And then we're going to get back to it next week. But, you know, we're not really radical rexing on this episode, but you know, Ryan, how are you doing in general, man? It's good to see and hear from you before we get going on this episode.
I'm doing good. I just, completed my first round of physical therapy yesterday. So
nice.
That went well. I'm very sore this morning, understandably, but I'm keeping up with my stretches and everything. So
yeah. Well, good deal. I'm glad you're getting that stuff taken care of and on the road to recovery, and before you know it, you're gonna feel like a new man.
Yeah, I'm gonna look forward to that part because I don't like not being able to walk right. So
yeah, I get that. Awesome. Well, like I said, we're going to Radical Rex today, but overall, we're doing good. That's why we missed last week, and we're back playing with some power without strep throat this week. So Ryan and I, man, let's just dive right back in to World 2 of Super Mario World.
Awesome. I love this world. It is my favorite in the game, by far. Second only to the Illusion Forest. I spent the most time in my childhood here in this world. And I played through the game several times. I think, I don't know what happened. Maybe I started a new game because I, you know, left it alone for too long and want to come back with fresh eyes or what. But I know I played this part through and through. And then when I went to friends' houses, this is where they were at as well. And the secrets and stuff that I've discovered and everything over the years, and people have told me, like, it's got the most nostalgia for me. So I'm really looking forward to this episode. Like, I think of all of them, overall, this is my most favorable, like, set of stages. So,
yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that is where you are the most. I mean, I have a lot of memories between here and the next world, from the Donut Dome area. I can't remember. Is that what it's called? Donut Dome or?
Vanilla Dome.
Vanilla Dome. Sorry, this is Donut. We're in Donut Plains area. It's this first level. Once we beat the castle, the bridge opens up. Now we go over to Donut Plains. And there's a flying ghost house right next to you. And you think, like, ooh, maybe this is like a spooky level. Well, it's not, really. It's not. And I think that's a... You can correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan. Is that a... We can't get to that till later, right? That's a secret down the road.
You can get to it as your third level, and that's usually what I do in my playthroughs. But it's a secret. You have to get to it, so you have to figure out where the secret exit is. You know, this is the first place that introduces really the secret exits, because you didn't really have any secret exits in the first area. But this is when the game starts to open up with secrets, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a fun area. I ran through this, I realized, because once when you play the game, you kind of always like get into these habits of how you play a game, you know, especially older games. And Mario, well, let's just dive into the first level. You click on it, fizzles in, fizzles out, fizzles in, and then you're here. And seems like a normal area, you know, giant mountainous, like the first world. But then this time we got a new little fellow running at us full speed. I think it's a Koopa Troopa without his shell.
And yeah, he's in his underwear.
Pretty much. This is Ryan when he wakes up, and then he, boom, he has a cape. He's got a cape for you, and this is a new item. This was probably one of the signature items for this game. As a matter of fact, Mario's wearing the cape on the cartridge of the game. Is that correct?
Yeah. It'd be like Mario Wonder having the elephant on the cover.
Yeah, this is the item that people are seeing when they in the advertisements.
Yeah.
This is the first sign of something different item upgrade-wise, you know, outside of Yoshi. And he's not really an item upgrade.
It's really cool. Like, I love the feather that you get to get the power up. Mm-hmm. I love the look. I will say, like, the power-up has a lot more of a learning curve than prior, like, special, like, power-ups. So, like, when you had the leaf before, you know, you could get the raccoon tail and you could fly and you had a limited amount of time to fly. It's a lot like that, but then they added like a complication to it.
Mm-hmm.
With some verticality you can do. Like you can kind of infinitely like float if you know what you're doing.
And as a kid, I could never figure that out. Traven and I always had to have his mom do it.
The game wasn't very clear on how to do it, I don't think. Especially not for a kid. Like, and I had someone show me. But even then, it was definitely something where I had to learn the muscle memory and the timing. And even then, I don't always get it perfectly because you have to rock the stick back. But then you have options, like if you hold the stick down or hold the stick forward, you could do a ground pound and you could use some more like swoops up and down and do some bigger tricks with it. But it does have a learning curve. It's definitely a new power up. But they wanted to show off what Mario could do, like beyond just the regular stuff. So it took like, oh well, the power up has multiple versatility options. Like you can ground pound with it, you know, if you do the dive bomb, but you can also use it to arc back up again. So you have a lot of flying abilities. Whereas you know, it's a little bit different from like the raccoon tail. But I love the aesthetic and the idea of the cape. I remember the person who showed me the most tricks for this game. My mother owns a kennel, and she had a groomer named Jamie, and we went over to her house, and she was sitting on the floor playing the game. I thought that was so cool, like to see not only is someone playing Super Nintendo, but they're playing a Mario game that I wasn't very familiar with. That was really cool. And they had sage advice, and it was a girl telling me that, you know, like girls play video games. That was kind of like my big like eye opener for that.
Oh, they do, man.
So yeah, it was really cool to see that and to learn some tricks. And that's where I really kind of learned that you could how to do the flying mechanics and things. There was also the person that that showed me Mario is missing as well. So
yeah.
But
well, I mean, let's dive into the level. So like. So as I replayed it, I really realized like there's two parts. There's two ways to go about this level, and my traditional way, and they do this I think because they want you to experience what it's like to fly and glide up and down with this cape. So I'll just sum up part of it. If you do the traditional way that I typically do, just like you do in Mario Bros. 3, you're just tempted like, ooh, sweet. Run and spam the crap out of this. There's a whole section, pretty much the whole level has like upper clouds, and you can just pretty much fly up there, run up there, collect coins, and you pretty much can just skip all the difficulty of this level by flying from cloud area to cloud area. Mm-hmm. If you get good with the mechanic. Now, if you don't do that, which I opted to just see what was just down on the floor, it is actually quite, they throw a lot at you, actually. There are these underwear Koopa Troopa dudes who love to fly. They are constantly flying back and forth at you. There's new enemies as well. Like, we get I'm pretty sure in World 1, the plant that spits out, like, poison seeds or whatever into the air is not in World 1. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we run into him or it. And then, you got a bunch of charging chucks doing different things. They're throwing baseballs at you constantly.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's much different than World 1. You can definitely see the amped up, I guess, difficulty. I mean, it's not like ultra hard. You know, this isn't World 8 or 6 or whatever, but this is definitely a step up from what we were getting in World 1. It's annoying, and if you don't have a Switch where you can just quickly rewind over mistakes today, I can totally see how hard this is. But, you know, you go back to the intro of it. Once you get past it, really, goodness, I ran ahead. Once you get past it, it's pretty much just avoid everything and try your hardest to not die.
It's definitely, like, they throw a lot at you, and there's enemies running, like, right for you, but there's also enemies swooping down out of the sky with capes. The ones that have the flashing, so there's yellow capes, which are the normal ones, and the ones that are red and yellow flashing, they flash really fast. They almost look orange because of the shifting. But if you jump on them, you get the
feather. Right, that's the one you want.
You want to jump on that one and grab the feather from him to get the power up. And there is a place that gives you kind of training. And this is, like, it gives you, like, this new block that's, like, pink. It's like a triangle. Mm-hmm. You can, like, run up it. And it gives you some verticality there, too, where you can actually run up walls, which is pretty cool. There's actually one of the secret exits in this level. The first secret exit you come to requires you to run up one of those blocks if you have the green switch. But at this point, you don't have the green switch. Mm-hmm. So you have to get a little bit more creative with how you get up there, whether you fly up there or what have you. There's this area where basically you go in down this pipe, and it presents you with a feather you can pick up between two blocks, and then you hit the speaker box, and then it kind of tells you, like, run fast, jump, and then hold the Y button to keep balance. Use left and right on the control pad. And the keep balance made no sense to me as a kid. Like, I didn't understand what it was trying to have me to do. But that's where you kind of learn the mechanics. There's, like, this big playground where you collect a lot of coins and stuff by bouncing up and down. And it's kind of separated by really, really tall pipes. You can, like, run up them and get some verticality to it. But it basically just gives you a little playground to try and experience what this feather is and with the cape. And then once you leave that area, it dumps you back down. One of the enemies that I think is probably one of the hardest or most frustrating enemies in the whole game are the plants that show up, that spit up the four balls, the fireballs, or whatever they are. It's got just a little bit of a learning curve on it. You have to be patient. So it spits up four, two on the right, two on the left, that disperse and then float down. Kind of like, think of like a volcano type idea, but like slower falling, like pollen or whatever, and that will kill you. But it's really cool looking flower because it has, like, the flashing red in its petals before it spits out the fire. But yeah, you have to be patient with that. You can't just, like, run through it, because then you have a lot of things you have to dodge, plus you have to jump over the flower.
Fun fact.
Yeah, it's basically a volcano flower.
With that flower, if you do have a Yoshi, you can just eat it.
Yes.
Gets rid of it. And if you have the cape and you do the spin jump, you actually take out those little fire poisonous beads that it shoots up. It destroys them.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I rediscovered that on my playthrough, which is cool.
But you get an opportunity to take out Charge and Chuck from below. So you can actually just jump into a block and take it out without having to do the three hits, which is really nice. If you hit a block from underneath them, it takes them out completely.
If you jump on the charging chucks with football or throwing baseballs, they stop throwing them at you and then they just start choking at you. So you're actually...
Yeah, they start charging.
You're better off to like just hop on them one time if they're really in your way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That eliminates that.
Totally. But yeah, there's a lot more enemies thrown at you. A lot more going on. It's a lot more stressful if you're sticking to the beaten path.
You can throw shells at those
path.
Plants too, man. Like they can be taken out.
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of shells. There are some, but yeah, just if you just get into the center and attack it with a cape or something, you can get rid of it too.
So after that plant, you know, like we said, most of this level is chaos. I mean, you got a purple pipe if you stay in the bottom row, and it's back to one of the mini games that Ryan had mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago, and you can just really spam this and get a bunch of extra lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really small and simple, really helps give you a boost there. Then it just spits you back out. And after that, you're just welcomed by another giant plant, and you're welcomed by two flying cape Koopa Troopas.
Mm-hmm.
The section that you're running up to, well, you get to get it. You can grab a Yoshi if you have the proper abilities to upgrade, and you go down here. You see a charging Chuck chucking baseballs at you, essentially, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. But then what you don't notice is that there's another charging Chuck on the other side.
Yeah, they throw two at you, which is dirty. But no, you have to learn.
It is dirty, and it's messy. I mean, if you don't know what you're doing, because there is a plant, a piranha plant that you can grab, like that shoots up, you know, and it's like a secret and takes you up to the clouds. And you're able to just get a golden coin, and get that if you want to, and it kind of gives you some relief from them. Then you can just jump on over beyond that into the next special flower. But man, yeah. I mean, I can't really just tell you how much more difficult. I didn't realize how difficult it was because of just the level of how much I would use that flag, and I would just fly right beyond everything.
Yeah, the cape would get you out of all of the harm. Like, and that's similar to Mario Brothers 3 with the raccoon tail. Like, you can definitely like skip a lot of the level just by flying around, you know, and avoiding a lot of enemies. So it's akin to that. I think the biggest challenge, though, like, you know, you have all the charging chucks that you're running past. And you got the fire flowers. But then you come to this like wall of Koopa Troopas with capes running at you. And it's quite a challenge, just to avoid all of them. And like, cause they're staggered just so much that the one that gives you the feather is first. But if you bounce on that one, then you're going to have the other ones flying right into your face. So it's really challenging. I don't know why, it has such a big spike in difficulty, but like this is like the proving grounds for kids to get used to all the different mechanics and kind of make this is you're gonna play this level if it's your first time like playing any kind of platformer or anything like that. You're gonna play this level many, many times, and it's not to be ashamed of. Like, this is meant to be challenging and to train you. It's kind of the, you know, school of hard knocks. Like, you have to go through it and you have to get it all done. And get your timing perfectly, but that sets you up for the rest of the game. It's really that level that pushes you past just regular Mario playing and takes you into the Super Mario World's difficulty level. And just, I guess, not necessarily just difficulty, but like it presents you with, here's what you're up against. Here's what you're going to have to learn. Here are the tools that you need to survive the rest of the game. I just think it does a really good job of that. Another thing that introduced in this level is the green exclamation point boxes, or the green switch boxes. They are currently disabled, and they'll be dotted green. And there's actually a vertical wall preceded by a little like pink smiley face, the little triangle box that lets you run up walls. And I will note, once you have the green switch filled, you're not going to be able to run up that with Yoshi at all. You can't do any verticality with Yoshi. Yoshi just kind of bounces off of the pink ones. Doesn't get high enough, really, at all, to get over that wall. But that's kind of something that's interesting. Like, you either have the cape or you have the Yoshi. You can't have both when it comes to some of these vertical areas. And they didn't do that too much in the game. But it is kind of limiting, and you have to kind of work around that. But I think overall, it is just the right amount of difficulty to get you to learn fast. And the cape is enough of a reward, at least personally, that I wanted to keep playing and keep trying to figure out this cape. And I thought it was a really cool power-up. Like, I always love getting new power-ups, and just finding out what they are and experience that new experience they have. Granted, like, not all Mario games like wow me with their power-ups and things. Like, I would say Mario Wonder is one of those ones where, like, it didn't wow me when I got the elephant. It was cool to have the water trick. And I haven't gotten any of the other power-ups yet with Mario Wonder. I still have a lot to play through still. But it didn't have like a lot of wow mechanics that I really liked. But definitely the cape was something that captured my imagination and gave me new elements. So, I was really happy to just spend so much time on this, I guess, first level of the second area. I often think of it as the real first level of the game, as far as the showcase goes of what the game is. I like that this is the first area of the secret exit. So I was talking about how they had the green blocks. If you do have the green blocks filled in, from the Switch, you can actually go in and grab this key, and you can take it into a keyhole, and that takes you to the secret exit. Usually the secret exits are ways to get to different places in the map that you've never been before. In this case, if you do grab the secret exit, it takes you into a water area, a water level, and it's the first real water level, underwater level, I should say, that you'll come to. And it's reminiscent of World 1-2. I'm sorry, one is it 1-3? The underwater level, the first one you come to in Super Mario, the original Super Mario Brothers, where you're fully underwater and you're dodging the things that you know swim at you. But I digress. We'll get back to the stage that we're on. So I did grab. I did want to figure out a way to keep Yoshi and the cape at the same time and get over this wall. And you can fly over it. Most of the time you have to abandon Yoshi, though. Once you get past that wall and you decide to skip the key, you can keep on moving through the level. You're presented with one final obstacle where you have to take out the fire flower. And then also you have a charge and chuck as well. Baseball charge and chuck, I should say. I will note that the key doesn't act as a weapon like a shell would. It doesn't take out an enemy. So if you do pick up the key and try to use it as a weapon instead of going through the keyhole, you're not going to have much luck taking out those enemies at the end. But yeah, you have a charge and chuck that's throwing things at you, and then you have a fire flower sitting on one of those yellow blocks spitting out those fireballs. And so you have to make a choice, like, how are you going to get through this? Like, do you go underneath the fire flower and jump up and take it out? But then you have to dodge the baseballs. And it's kind of a final send off that the difficulty of this level. And it's just to prepare you for what the rest of the game has in store, like I said. And you hit the tape at the very end. And of course, that'll throw you into a potential bonus if you have enough stars at the end. It's kind of cool. I did want to highlight that bonus area that Jacob talked about there for a little bit. So you open up in this, you go into down this pipe, and you end up in this room that's, you're going to be climbing the room. And if you jump up to the next floor, you can't go back down. But you're presented with three question blocks. And if you jump into them, they'll either turn into a circle or an X. Circle will be green when you hit it. And if you hit the right sequence, the third one will give you a green mushroom, and you can jump up to the next level and grab that. But it's kind of a guessing game because you have three blocks to hit. If you hit them in the right order, you get the extra life. If you don't, they'll just X out and become the regular brown blocks, I believe. But yeah, you just keep climbing up until you get to the very top, and you can't go up any higher, and you'll go through a pipe that'll take you back to that place. And I think that pretty much wraps up the end of the level. And we're kind of ready to move on to the next one. Now, I would like to go with just, you know, two instead of, you know, going the secret path like I normally do, because that's something that I did a lot as a kid, but I don't do it so much anymore. I always take the secret exit first whenever I can, because you can use the cape to get up there if you're really skilled at it, which is what I kind of do in all my playthroughs nowadays. But let's go ahead and like move on to that next level and kind of talk about what we have there.
Yeah, it's I know you did most of the talking. Donut Plains 2 is just, I can recap. As a kid, it was slow moving, and I always felt like it was hard.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a little kid. Like, you just,
if you're not patient, you're not going
to
do great.
I think that's the key thing right there is who, at the time, this mainly was played by kids, children. Yeah. And children aren't patient, especially hyperactive little boys like you, myself, and Traven. And you had to be patient. I think that's what made the level hard. But like you said, the secret exit, boom, right really at the start of the game. Get up there if you're patient enough to figure it out and then move on.
Yeah. But once you get through like the verticality of that and you get past those spinies, you're pretty much at the end of the level. You exit through a pipe and it takes you out into the overworld area, or the open air area, instead of in the dank cave that you're in. There is a secret exit. In order to get it, you have to have at least be in Big Mario form with a mushroom in order to get it. Because if you don't have any other power-ups or Yoshi or anything, you won't be able to reach one of the blocks that you have to hit that turns into a piranha plant that takes you up to the secret exit, where you grab the key and run through the keyhole to go there. This particular secret exit does house the access to the Green Switch Palace. The Green Switch Palace will give you, if you hit the green blocks, it will give you a feather every time. So I think it's one of the best blocks you can get. You can open up. And there's even a green dotted box in Donut Plains 2 when you run through that. But so the Green Switch Palace, let's go ahead and move on to that one, unless you have something you wanted to say about 2. I know it was pretty hard for you and myself, you know, back in the day, because it was taking so much patience.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was always the most difficult time, I felt like, as a kid, just being patient and waiting to get through it. Overall, like you said, you can take that easy exit towards the beginning and just get right through it, which, to be honest, I forgot about till of recent times. So if you want to skip all the difficulty, impatientness, just take that pipe and boot on out of there. But other than that, that's really all I have to say about that level.
Okay. That was actually the last switch that I got, that I discovered in my playthroughs, back when I was first learning where all the switches were. I never could figure out where that switch was. And it was something so simple. Like, one of the rising platforms goes up where you're high enough to one of the pipes, and you just hold up and you jump up into the pipe and go through it to get access to the area that has the secret exit. And I just never could find it for some reason. I always thought it was like, I just thought it was in a different area of the level. I don't know why, but yeah, it was not my favorite level for sure in the game. There's another motion scrolling one later that also kind of bothered me a lot like that. But, so let's get to the Green Switch Palace. You're put up at the top of the level when you go into the Green Switch Palace, and you're presented with this POW block and a yellow block in the middle of a line of, which is basically just a platform of the stone blocks. And when you hit the P switch, it turns that yellow block into a coin, and you can drop down below. And I'm sorry, there is a shell that you can pick up at the top there too. And so there's a naked Koopa on a platform right below when you drop down to the hole. And then below that is just a stretch of a bunch of Koopa Troopas with shells. And so this gives you the opportunity to take out all of those with a shell. And at the end of the string, you get a one up for doing that. Just keeping in mind, like, you can't throw a shell or you can't like toss a shell forward at a Koopa Troopa that's naked, because oftentimes they'll catch it and then send it back at you. So that first one you're going to want to take out that doesn't have a shell. And then you could launch your shell down below, and then you want to kind of run along with the shell so that each Koopa that gets taken out along the bottom, you get an extra life at the very end of the string. And that'll dump out into a bottomless pit. And so then you have the option to go back up top again, doing some platforming to go to the next area, which is just through a pipe. And really all that is you run through and you hit the green switch at the end. This is one of the ones where I usually just grab the red shell and I run through the pipe and jump onto the green switch crouched with the shell. It's just tradition, I guess. It's habit or what have you. Do you have any memories about that green switch?
Be honest, no. I mean, a lot of, and this is why, you know, what makes this game fuzzy for me is because you got to remember that, like, this was not something I owned back in the day nostalgically. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I've beaten it as an adult, but I never have had the game and have honestly been obsessed enough to the point to where I discovered every little thing. It was pretty much a straightforward run, your straightforward path, besides maybe an extra opening here and there. So, like, a lot of the extra special stuff for me is pretty fuzzy, whereas Ryan's going to be our expert in this on this walkthrough when it comes to figuring out the special exits and locating unknown areas.
Yeah. I guess we could put a spoiler tag on this whole like episode series, because like we're going in depth about everything.
Whatever.
You know, at this point,
came out in like 1990.
We might get some flack if like they
this is old HD, as me.
You know, a 2D HD or something like that. But so once you do like complete that switch, you'll be dumped back to the Donut Plains too. After you hit the switch, of course the green blocks go out all over the world to fill in all those blank areas. You'll have to go back to Donut Plains too if you didn't do the regular exit, and you'll have to do the regular exit to move on. And this comes to our first, secret exits aside, this comes to our first ghost house called the Donut Ghost House.
Oh my, you think donut would make it sound nice, but it's creepy.
Yeah, I do love the ghost house a lot. The thing with that is, to get to the ghost houses, you have to go through a few levels. But I think ghost houses are probably my strongest, like, new addition to this game and this series. Like, it's what really launched me into loving Boo as a whole.
Of course. It gave him a whole new personality, right?
They like stick their tongues out at you, and they're really bashful, and they existed in Mario Brothers 3, but it's just. They had so much charm in this game, where they make fun of you, and
they have personality.
Yeah.
And they're a lot more intimidating because there's just so many. I don't recall there being just a bunch of them. Like, there's just so many in the sky above you, like above your head, to where it feels intimidating. But it's, you know, whereas in Mario 3, it's like you got one here, one there, and you just, you know, look at them to stop them. And it was a great mechanic at that time too. But this is definitely a great evolution.
This is by far and away one of the most significant ghost's house in the game because of its secret exit. A lot of the ghost houses do have secret exits that you have to figure out. But this one is the most important overall, because the level that it gives you access to is essentially infinite lives and infinite power-ups. But before we get into that, let's go ahead and just talk about this ghost house. This one is definitely one where it is nerve-wracking, because there are a bunch of like translucent ghosts, boos flying around up above you. And they go solid and they dive bomb you. They're terrifying. Describe a bit more about the boos. There's the black mouth boos. They kind of like just, they like chatter at you. And then there's ones with the standard boos with the pink mouths that fly down and chatter as well. And there's these like crazy eyed tongue sticking out ones as well that like wag their tongues at you as they fly down at you. It's really weird. Yeah. but they just, they fly and there's like a swarm of them. So they just kind of like dive bomb you the whole time. So you don't want to really jump up, but you want to dodge them because sometimes they get low enough to hit you.
Right.
And when you're on the floor and whatnot. So some of them dive pretty deep, but the ones that go deeper tend to be a little bit slower. So it's kind of like when Mario is swimming and he jumps out of the water. Depending on how fast you're going, you can, you know, jump higher out of the water or you can jump further, but it's kind of that feel and the motion that they're making, the swooping motion they're making. Terrifying as a kid.
It is. It is. And I just wanted to note that, like, even when you click on the level, it doesn't just fizzle you right in. Like, it gives you the idea that, like, hey, this is intense. Like, especially, again, I just tried to put myself back in my 4 or 5 year old mind of what I was like as a kid. And, you know, back then, a ghost level, it sounds spooky. You know, you can hear the music playing in the background right now. That scared me as a kid. It did. It gave me the spooks. It made me nervous. And it immediately starts and you walk up just like a castle. You walk up to this giant, like, maybe this
ghost house.
Foreshadowing. It was kind of like it says ghost house, but it's like a ghost mansion in a way. It's huge, mm-hmm. You know?
It's haunted mansion.
It's kind of like a foresight into what we know eventually happened with Booz and Luigi. But
yeah,
you can't take Yoshi in. You go it right in. It's, and then all the ghosts, like Ryan said, are just right above your head, you know? And the level itself is not very long. The thing about these levels, you essentially make your way down the hallway and try not to get hit and go through the door at the end of the tunnel. And then you got a stairway. And then you got your traditional, what we're used to seeing with Booze. Like, if you look at them, they follow you. If you don't look at them, they come at you. But then you got a P-switch. You go up and you go through the door, and this is what makes this level difficult, is that you're like, what do I do? You know, you go through the door and you're
back out. Yeah.
Yeah. You're underneath it and you're like, what? And then if you hit the two-eyed block, a P-switch pops out, and essentially you're like, okay, well, traditionally we're taught to jump on these and something happens. And if you, what happens if you just hit on it and you don't go through the door? You go through the door, you hit the P switch, you jump on it, and then you get coins and it says, go to the left, go to the left. There's a gray silver door or blue door. You go through it, hit it, you got a line of coins, and you're like, that's it. Okay, great. Let's move on.
Did you control those coins?
No, I did not, actually.
Yeah, so those coins are mapped to your control pad, your D-pad. So as they go forward, if you hit up, they'll start going up. And if you hit left, or if you hit right, they'll start going right. And you can wind them around and fill up the whole space with coins until they run out, like it runs out. So you can get a ton of coins with that thing. And you can also use them as platforms if you have a P-switch. Like, you can make your own platforms with them. But it's based on what you do with Mario and the movements.
Totally did not know that. That is a fun fact that, again, Ryan is bringing to the table for this one. But so you do that and you go back and then you're back in the room and you kind of can repeat this process. It's like, mm-hmm. You go to the door, you hit them, hit the switch. And I know as a kid, you're kind of like, what the freaking heck do I do? Like, this is the same thing, because don't forget, you're also on a timer. Timer's constantly ticking, and if you don't figure it out, you can die. And you don't, if you do repeat it, you don't get to control the coins like the first time. It just recollects it. But luckily, Ryan and I know exactly what to do. You hit it, you got the P-switch, and you can carry it. Did you know you could carry it, Ryan?
I did, yeah. Yeah, you can pick it up, you can carry it wherever you want to go.
And then you got to go through the door with it. And then once you re-hit it again, and then now a piranha plant that takes you to a new level rises, and you have a door up top that you can go through. And then if you were lucky enough to figure that out in time, that's the end of the level. The thing about these levels is, I think down the road, obviously, they get a bit more difficult in, like, dodging and stuff. But these... Mm-hmm. they're just not your straightforward, like, let's go through and win. Mm-hmm. It's, you got to figure out the mystery. There's a hook to it. And this is just the first of many Ghost House in this game. But it overall now, it's simple looking back when you know what to do. But as a kid, it was not. And I remember time running out on me and dying and not understanding what to do.
Yeah, it's a fake out. Like, they tell you to go left, and you really should just go right after you hit the P switch. Because if you go through the door normally, it doesn't get you out. But if you have the switch activated and you go through that, then it'll work.
Correct. So,
Now, did you ever find the secret exit in this level?
I have in the past, yeah. But tell us about it.
You got to be brave here. So you got to go in this level with a cape. And you have to run all the way to the right until you're running. And then you run back to the left, and you fly straight up in the corner. Try not to hit a boo. If you hit a boo, then you have to go back out and get another cape. But you can fly to the very top on the far left, right at the beginning of the level, and you can go above the stage and run along a platform there until you get to the end. This is very reminiscent of running above the stage on Super Mario World, Super Mario Brothers 1-1. Super Mario Brothers, is it
1-2? Underground.
1-2, yeah. Underground. Yeah, we can run above it, and then it dumps out into, like, an area that you fall down into, and the difference here is that you still have to dodge, like, a bunch of the boos, but there's also extra lives there waiting for you. There's four of them you can hit, and it's kind of interesting. The extra lives are also kind of like see-through or transparent, unique to this ghost house. It's kind of cool to see that happen. Once you hit, you know, once you've hit the tape on either one, in this case, if you hit the tape and you found the secret exit, it takes you to the top secret area, which is the best level in the game. Also the shortest level in the game. Well, I don't know. You could consider Yoshi's house to be the shortest level in the game. But mm-hmm. But top secret area is essential to Mario. This Mario game and playthrough, because it's a spot that you can always come back to and grab power-ups. Like the left side... If you have a mushroom in your Big Mario, the left side become fire flowers, the right side become the feathers, and then the middle block that you can hit in this area is a Yoshi egg. And so you can jump up on Yoshi, grab Yoshi, grab their power-ups, and you're fully powered up, and you can exit the level, and you're done. What's really cool about this whole thing is each time, there's a mechanic, each time you hit a block that's supposed to have a Yoshi in it, and you already have a Yoshi, it becomes an extra life. So now you can just go through, hit the block, grab the extra life, exit the level, and repeat, rinse and repeat until you've got infinite lives. This is really it takes some time, but you can get as many lives as you want to get you through the whole game.
And you have to be good at the mechanic, you know?
Definitely. Yeah. You have to be like, you have to know what you're doing, but it gives you the lives that you need, to basically traverse the rest of the game, kind of make it sort of an easy mode, but it gives you that cushion to where, like, you can take on anything and die as many times as you want. You can always go back and get more extra lives. It's such an overpowered area. I wish I would have known this as a kid. The person who told me about the top secret area was the groomer Jamie, and my mind was blown. Like, she left it to me to figure out where the secret was, but I knew it was there. And so, like, I obsessed over that ghost house, the donut ghost house, trying to figure out where the secret exit was so I could get to that top secret area. It was a really cool experience for me, nostalgia-wise. That really does bring us over the pond. You cross this little bridge on the overworld. As you're crossing the bridge, there's a cheep that jumps up out of the water, like, trying to grab you. And you go on to Donut Plains 3.
Yeah, Donut Plains 3. I would say this one maybe is a bit more difficult of a level. It's really up in the sky. It's more platformer. Like, you gotta not fall, basically. As soon as you dive in, you've got your, you know, old little, like, moving on a line platform, a brown one, and then a twisting triplet platform. And it is, you know, if you've played Mario Bros. 3, you're familiar with stuff like this, right? Mm-hmm. It's very reminiscent of that to me. I know there's a secret in this one too, isn't there? Like a secret exit? Or is that a different, am I thinking of a different level?
I believe there is. I think it takes you down to a warp pipe, basically, to get you to another area.
There is a new type of mechanic in this game, though, besides that you don't have in other levels. And it is using this, like, on and off switch. You're going to be riding the platform, and you got to hit it, and you've got to be accurate, you know, because the way it could be hard is if you are if you jump it the wrong way, the platform can move out from underneath you, and it wouldn't be good. You'd die. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of flying Koopa Troopas coming at us in this. You're going back and forth between this platform on and off. And as we go along this route, Ryan, we do get introduced to a new enemy.
Yeah, one of my favorites. It's quirky.
Yeah, he is kind of a goofy looking thing, isn't he?
I want to say they're called fuzzies.
Fuzzies, yeah.
I did want to say that there is a speaker box you can hit in this level, which teaches you a trick that most people overlook in the game, but it's a really helpful tool for platforming. If you hold down the left or the right thumb or trigger button, it will shift the screen forward to the right or back to the left, so you can see more of what's ahead of you and where it's like places the camera kind of forward. And you could kind of watch and see what's coming up ahead. Like most of the time, people just keep it right at the center, Mario's at the center. But you can shift that, left and right to see things before and after if you just hold it down. It's a really cool trick. It helps you to see what's coming in those like slow scrolling levels, since you already know what's behind you. And you got the fuzzies to deal with. There's a new flight pattern of Koopas that fly straight, and there's these Koopas with wings that like bounce along the ground but jump higher, but they still have wings and they don't necessarily fly. But this is you're on these. There's a lot of like wooden platforms as well, brown wooden platforms that are traveling along like, I don't know, I guess wires or strings or whatever. And then there's fuzzies that are on the track as well. And so you have some verticality where the fuzzy is moving faster than the actual platform is. So you have to time when you jump on the platform, and you want to jump on the edges of the platform because the spiny runs up, or the fuzzy runs up right in between it, in the middle. So you kind of sit on the edges of these wooden platforms. And there's also like there's a couple of safeguards and things. Like there's like the checkerboard platforms flying down below or floating down below. So if you mess up the first time, no big deal. If you're able to stay on the platform, there's a yellow floating pipe that you can go to that will take you to one of those bonus areas we talked about before with the circles or the X's to get the extra lives. Mm-hmm. Once you exit that way, it'll dump you out into a place. You come out of this orange looking pipe. It definitely feels like the middle of the level when you get here. But you have this octagonal, I guess stone. I considered like the gray ones to be stone and the wood one or the brown ones to be wood as far as the platforms go. But you're on this octagonal track, on one of the wood platforms, and then you have a spiny or keep saying spiny. You keep having a fuzzy, moving a little bit faster in the opposite direction. So you have to kind of dodge that. And then you get to the final platform, which is along a long string. You jump on it and it'll take you out towards the switch. There is a green star block on your way out. That star block is time dependent on what it gives you, from what I understand. But if you have like full power ups, I don't think it gives you anything but like a coin. But if you hit it at a certain time, it'll give you different items. So you have an opportunity to hit that on your way out, to hitting the tape to exit the level.
Right. Yeah. I think you said it, but you can totally, you can skip a large portion of this level by going, if you ride it and you go down the pipe, you can get like all the extra live bonus area again. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it literally pops you out right at the end. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You can skip a lot of the hard stuff through that.
That's the thing about this game is that there's so many, and I don't know of many other platforms that I know like, you know, like Donkey Kong Country 2, like they have these things where if you figure the game out, you can entirely skip levels. Like they have those, but I feel like Mario World has this and like sprinkled almost throughout the majority of all of its levels. Like there's always something in it. And I think that's cool and fascinating.
Yeah, definitely. I just want to talk a bit about the aesthetic of this level, being that like the back is all like lush bush, like greenery.
Feels like a forest coming up.
Yeah, and you're running along like really wide versions of the mushrooms like you had in Super Mario Brothers. Really wide platforms that are green and white spotted platforms, kind of like trees in a way. And then you've got some platforming you have to do where you have to hit switches or you'll fall off the platforms. And then you can grab your halfway point. And then, of course, you have to deal with those fuzzies that go way, way faster than you really want them to. Because you have to get that timing down just right. There's a lot of like track riding and it jumps the tracks. And so you have to try to avoid Koopa Troopas in between that are flying at you. And then, if you can get to that bonus area, you can skip a good portion of this level. Sure. But it's a longer level for sure. And there's definitely opportunities to collect all your five dragon coins and whatnot. But as far as the fuzzies go, I don't think you can actually take them out unless maybe you have a star. I think they're invincible for the most part. I don't think even fire works on them at all. I think it just, disappears. So they're kind of impervious, and they're crazy looking enemies because they're these black spike balls with like these like, I don't know, googly eyes.
Right.
I guess.
Yeah.
and they've got these like these grins on their faces that are kind of.
Yeah, they're wacky.
Yeah. Definitely. It kind of reminds me of Wario sometimes with his snares.
Yeah, a little bit.
But so this doesn't have a secret exit, but there is another secret exit that takes you to this level if you find the pipe. So we've got an option now. We can go towards the castle or we can cover the secret area. We can go on to Donut Plains 4 before going on to the secret area, or we can kind of go to the ghost house area, the second ghost house in the area, or we can move on to the castle. Where would you like to go on this one? Choose your own adventure.
Well, we'll put a pin in it and we'll have to come back to it next week, unfortunately, because we're out of time today. There's so many secrets within this one section of the game at the intro. Like, there's so many options, and it makes the game that much longer. Which, if you're more of a completionist and you know how to do everything and you like want to figure it all out, it makes this game so much worth the value of the price that it was charged at. So much boiled. It's more than just the straightforward path. Once you start becoming, especially if that's like one of the only, back then, unless your parents were rich, like you kind of just got a game here and there and you had to learn how to figure out everything about a game, instead of we get games, like multiple games a month. And back then you get Mario World and then it's like, we might not see a new game for like 4 or 5 months. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And even then it's not like mom and dad are just going to run out and buy you the new game. So, we need to put a pin in it there. Because life is busy and we got lots of schedules, but, we'll come back and choose our own adventure of where we're going to head from here on.
Perfect. All right. It was a lot of fun. Chatting with you this week about a game that I think it's still my favorite 2D Mario game, 2D Mario platformer. Mario Brothers 3 is pretty close nostalgia, like there's a strong nostalgia there, but I gotta say overall this is my favorite. So it's great to be able to review this with you. It's especially special like when I can bring some knowledge to you that you hadn't learned yet about something.
Right.
And I'm hoping that our listeners are getting that too, like things that they never thought about or never realized. They put so many secrets in this game and so many like different ways to play and see and things to discover. And they give you a lot of options on what you want to do. Like it's not just a linear, like you go here, you do this thing. Like you have options and branching paths and things, and it's really cool like that. Like you got a little bit of it in Super Mario Brothers 3, but this one just like takes it to another level, and you know, it really truly does make it super.
Absolutely. Well, with that said, Ryan, why don't you tell everyone where they can find us, and we'll wrap this one up.
Sure thing, man. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Podcasts, Pandora Podcasts. You can find some limited episodes on YouTube. You can find us on Facebook at Nintendo NOS, on TikTok at Nintendo _ NOS, on X Twitter at Nintendo _ NOS, Instagram at Nintendo NOS IN. Shoot us an email at NintendoNostalgiaIN@gmail.com. You can call into our nostalgia hotline, share your memories, and show us some love at 317-969-5690. Now, we don't necessarily have to, play your call over the show. If you just want to call in and leave a quick voice message if you have something you want to share, just let us know that you don't want it to be aired on the podcast. That's fine. But we like to hear from you. Let us know, like, what were your favorite secrets from this area in the Donut Plains. Let us know what you think. And thank you so much. I hope you guys have a great holiday season, and we will catch you next week. Later, Preston.
See you later, guys. Bye.